It is the tradition in the church to stand out of respect for the gospel, so if you're able, please stand. Today's gospel lesson comes from the 17th chapter of John. This comes from a section that's known as the farewell discourse, and even inside of that, these words come from what has been called the priestly prayer. This is a prayer of Jesus. He began by praying for himself, he then prayed for his disciples, and then he prayed for you, and these are his words in the 17th chapter of John. I ask not only on behalf of these, speaking of the disciples, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one, as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me, and I have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Let us pray. Gracious God, it's good to be in your temple, among your people, in the presence of your Spirit, your Word, the body, and the blood. Lord, teach us in this hour and always, remind us always, even in our weakness, that you desire to be as close to us as you are to Jesus. What a wonderful thought. Thank you for that reality and that truth. Thank you for the gospel. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, Easter seems like it was a long time ago, doesn't it? And it was quite a while ago, but in the church, Easter's not just one day. Easter is a season. It's 50 days long. Now, we are coming to the end of it. This is the seventh Sunday in Easter, the last Sunday in Easter. Next week will be Pentecost Sunday, and we'll enter a brand new season in the church. But I'll remind you, as I like to remind you from time to time, that every Sunday is a little Easter. We celebrate the resurrection every single Sunday. How do we know? We can know because the Sabbath used to be on Saturday. And when Jesus rose from the grave, the church changed the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday because he rose on Sunday. And so every Sunday is a little Easter. 6 weeks ago, on April 21st, on Easter Sunday, we were with Mary Magdalene there at the tomb, the empty tomb. 3 days prior to that, they had nailed Jesus to a cross. 3 days later, God raised him back to life, out of death and back to life, eternal life. And on that Easter Sunday morning, we took this cross on which Jesus was crucified, and we removed that purple robe of the Passion, and we replaced it with this white robe of resurrection, the white robe of new life. And then 5 weeks ago, we were in the upper room on Easter Day, the evening of Easter Day. We were there in the upper room with the disciples when Jesus came in. The risen Jesus came in, and he showed them his scars, and he said, "Peace I leave with you." Thomas wasn't there, remember? And he said, "Hey, I'm not going to believe this. I'm not going to believe that Jesus is risen until I can touch those scars." And a while later, Jesus came back. And this time, Thomas was there. And Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." The first public confession that Jesus was God in the flesh. 4 weeks ago, there we were on the shore of Galilee, there with another resurrection experience and another resurrection appearance of Jesus. We stood there on the shore and we watched as the disciples were out there in a boat fishing. After the resurrection, they decided to do what many of us would probably do, go back to work, go back to our lives, and so they went fishing. Night fishing, that's the way they fished, and then in the morning, they're pulling up toward shore. They've caught nothing. They've fished all night. And they see this shadowy figure on the shore. They don't know who it is, but he says, toss your nets over on the right side. They obey, and they pulled up so many fish that the nets were barely able to contain them. And of course, that was Jesus. And Jesus had a charcoal fire burning on the shore there with fish and bread on it. And he said, fellas, come on in and bring some of those fish and let's have breakfast. And on that Sunday, we celebrated communion with wine and bread and fish. And we established a new tradition here at Baker Chapel that during that time of the year, we will commune with bread and wine and fish because of the generous way that God supplies through Jesus. And then 3 weeks ago, kind of confusing, but the lectionary goes into rewind. We are post-resurrection, right? But the lectionary goes pre-resurrection, but for a reason. Jesus is teaching. He's still alive in his earthly ministry, but he's teaching what are Easter themes, and that's why they're in here. And so 3 weeks ago, if you'll remember, we talked about the voice of God, and Jesus said that my sheep know my voice. And we reminded each other and challenged each other that if we want to hear the voice of God, that we ought to go to our closet, close the door, and listen for God where he lives inside each one of us. And then 2 weeks ago, back in that upper room, only this time before the crucifixion and before the resurrection, we're there with the disciples as Jesus is enjoying a last meal with them on the day before he was to go to the cross. And Jesus, after the dinner, stood up and did an amazing thing. In a demonstration of selfless love, Jesus washed the feet of his disciples and he gave them a new commandment. He said, you see what I'm doing here? I want you to do the same thing. Love one another as I have loved you. And then last week, we enter into the scripture, the farewell address, which we are continuing in today. And Jesus said something that is rather remarkable. After saying at the beginning of that chapter, in verses that ring familiar because of funeral services, he said, in my Father's house are many mansions, speaking words of comfort to those who've lost loved ones but can rest with the assurance that their loved ones are with the Lord in heaven. But then here, just a little bit later, Jesus says, my Father and I are going to make our home with you now. Remarkable. Later, yes, but even now, the Father and the Son making their home within our hearts. And then today, we come to today's gospel lesson and we're still gathered around that table. We're gathered around that table on that night and they've had the meal. Jesus has washed their feet. And then Jesus does something remarkable. Jesus begins to pray. He first prays for himself, and he prayed, a portion of what he prayed was this. He prayed, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world began, before the world existed. Did you catch that? Jesus' home, the home that he made with us, is here. But Jesus existed with God from the beginning of time. That was his first home. And he came as a baby in the incarnation. And now he desires to go back to be with God in the resurrection and in the ascension, that he would have that unity with the Father that he has always had. And then, after Jesus prayed for himself, he prayed for his disciples. And part of that prayer, Jesus said this: "And now I'm no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one." Another prayer of unity, that the relationship would be so close as if the distinctions just melted away and they truly were one. I find this very, very cool about the way this prayer happened. Jesus' normal practice was to get away from it all. His normal practice was to go up on a mountain to be alone with God. We see this described over and over again in the Gospels, but this time, he didn't get up and go to the mountain. At that table where they shared that last meal, he prayed for himself and for his disciples, and they heard every word of it. Has anyone ever prayed for you in your presence? Prayed for you while you were there? That's a really powerful experience. Well, get ready, because as we sit around that table on that night after that meal, where Jesus prayed for himself on the day before he was to die and prayed for his disciples and prayed that they would be one, he prayed for you. He really prayed for you. That was our gospel lesson this morning. Listen to this, because this is the prayer that Jesus prays for you. "I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word." That's you. "That they may all be one." That's you. "As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they," that's you, "also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them," that's you, "so that they may be one as we are one. I in them," that's you, "and you in me, that they," that's you, "may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and I have loved them," that's you, "even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me," that's you, "may be with me where I am, to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these," that's you, "know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them," that's you, "and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them," that's you, "and I in them," that again is you. I don't know about you, but that blows my mind. It blows my mind, this intimacy that Jesus is describing, the intimacy that Jesus shares with the Father. Jesus says, "You will share in that intimacy. Just as the Father has loved me and I have loved the Father loves you." Mind blowing. The intimacy, the at-one-ness that Jesus describes. The word Trinity is not in the Bible. The word came to be after a couple of centuries when the church struggled with who God was and who Jesus was and who the Holy Spirit was. But we see it, even though the word isn't used right here, we see the Holy Spirit at work. There's the Father and there's the Son and there's the Holy Spirit. There's this outpouring and receiving, an outpouring and receiving, an outpouring and receiving. It's dynamic. And what's amazing and mind-blowing about this is that Jesus, with these words and in this prayer, includes us in that flow of love, in that intimacy that the Son shares with the Father. We share with the Father and the Son by the Holy Spirit. It's It's a message of unity, that we be unified. And Jesus still prays that prayer. And we look around and we look outside and we look at our world and we look at our country and we see nothing but disunity. We don't see any unity. We see division. We see division in our world. We see division in our country to an embarrassing point. We see division in our own communities. We even see division in our beloved United Methodist Church, which is threatening to become the divided United Methodist Church, and we feel helpless against it. And so while we don't turn our backs on that, and we work for unity worldwide and in our country and here at home, we can be unified here. We can absolutely be unified here. When you come through those doors and into this sanctuary, that is a radical act of unity and oneness. It's amazing that you come in here and you are brothers and sisters in Christ. It is an intimate bond, and it's tangible. And if we're going to change the world, if we're going to change our country, it's going to start right here with the brothers and sisters in Christ right here. We can do it right here. We absolutely can. In a little bit, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for us. But I want you to do something for me right now. I'm not going to embarrass you. You can do this. I want you to look around the room. Just look around the sanctuary and get a feel for who's here. Get a feel for the brothers and sisters who have gathered together with you to worship in this place. And now look again, and this time I want you to find somebody. You don't have to lock eyes on them, but I want you to find somebody. And if it's easier to find somebody that you know and that you're familiar with, that's fine. But if you want to identify somebody that you don't know, that's good too. And I want you right now, silently, I want you right now to pray for them. I'm going to give you just a couple of minutes. Just a couple of minutes, and I want you to pray for them. I want to give you an assignment for the week. This is going to stretch you out of your comfort zone, probably. But I want you this week to continue to pray for that person, and I want you to call them. And I want you to offer to pray for them. To pray for them in your presence. If it has to happen over the phone, that's okay. But if you can have a cup of coffee, or you can have lunch, or you can just take a minute, sometime between today and next Sunday, contact that person. One of you is going to be getting a call from me this week. Okay? Call that person and pray for them. If you've never been prayed for in person, and I'm sure you have, and I'm sure you know how precious it is, experience it now with one of your brothers and sisters in Christ here at Baker Chapel. And this morning, when you come for communion, come knowing that God wants that intimate relationship with you. God wants to live inside of you. God wants to live His life in and through you in a very real way. Very real way. God wants His life to course through your life. He wants the blood of Jesus to course through your veins. He wants the body of Christ to be incorporated into your body. That's what incorporated means. Can you hear the word corpus? Incorporated, that's body. God wants to reside in your body by the blood and by the body of Jesus. And now, would you pray with me from the 42nd Psalm, the 10th verse. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be still. Be.